You have a copy of the Word, we've got Matthew chapter number 10 tonight. Matthew chapter number 10. Verse number 5 is where we're going to begin reading tonight. We've been looking at these first four verses there, looking at the life of each one of the disciples, those apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we've come to the fifth verse here in Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to look, I believe, tonight on this thought, disciples' duties. The disciples' duties. That you, as a child of the Most High God, have a duty and an obligation to uphold as a born-again believer and a recipient of the goodness and the grace of the Almighty God. And we find here that Jesus, as He had called out these, He commissioned them. And we want to look at these thoughts here tonight. Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 5. If you found your place, let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5. The Bible says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." And you may be seated tonight. Disciples' duties. We find there, as Jesus called each and every one of these men, He called them from a different place, from a different time frame in their life. Some of them may have been of young years. Some of them may have been of old age. We find that all of them were fit for use in the kingdom of God. And my friend, it does not matter whenever God saves you in life, whether it might be as a young child, or whether it might be as one that's on upward in years. It might be that you were one that was able to have been saved in vacation Bible school, or you might have been saved on up in age. We find that God has a purpose for your life. God has a use for you, and it's a matter of us realizing what God's purpose is for us. And my friend, sometimes that changes as the ages go by. Sometimes that changes as your years vary in your life. But nevertheless, we need to be about God's business. And that's what Jesus is trying to give instruction unto these men, that they might be about the Lord's work. My friend, God's not called you to be sitting upon a shelf. God's not called you just to sit in a pew. But God has called you to do His work at His bidding. Now the Bible says there in verse number 5 and verse number 6, I believe, and I've termed it as being the direction of commission. The direction of commission. Now, we know that each and every one of us have been commissioned. Whenever you got saved, whenever you got born again, whenever you got birthed in the family of God, God began a work within you right then and right there that you might be commissioned, that you might serve Him. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Amen. And teaching them of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Need to go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So we know that we've all been commanded to do that. But my friend, sometimes we need to hone in on our direction in which we need to do that very thing, as to exalt Jesus, to equip the saints. My friend, the Bible says here, these 12 Jesus sent forth. He commissioned them. He sent them out. And He sent them, the Bible tells us in the Synoptic Gospel of the Gospel of Mark, that He sent them two by two. Now, my friend, ain't that interesting? I believe that it's imperative that we have some help in ministry. Because somebody that's out there just a lone wolf, we find that a lot of times they become discouraged. A lot of times they become faint-hearted. A lot of times they become weary in well-doing. We find that if you're out there trying to serve the Lord all by yourself, it's a lot harder than if you have somebody to come alongside with you. And I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot easier to go to jail when you got somebody with you. Amen. Hey, it's a whole lot easier to go out there and knock upon doors if you have somebody with you. It's a whole lot easier to go and to try to evangelize the lost and dying world if you have some help along the way. So Jesus sent them out in twos. And the Bible says there that thus these 12 Jesus sent forth and He commanded them, saying, my friend, if you've been able to hear from heaven, you need to be considered a blessed individual. Amen. There's a lot of folks out there in this world that have never heard God's voice. Oh, they might have heard that they were a sinner. Nonetheless, that's God's voice speaking to them, getting them to realize their need for salvation. But boy, thanks be unto God when God speaks and the light bulb comes on and our heart becomes attentive unto the things of God, that we hear His voice, that He woos us and encourages us to trust in Jesus. Now we find here that it's a wonderful thing to hear the voice of God. Now Jesus is here speaking. In verse number 5, the Bible says that He commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now, I don't believe that Jesus completely excluded these because we know that Jesus ministered unto the Samaritan woman. Jesus ministered unto Gentiles along the way in His ministry. But the main direction, the main focus that He wanted these men to go in was not into the way of the Gentile, not unto the city of Samaria, or in that region of Samaria. But He says there in verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I want to remind you tonight that Israel is described in the Old Testament as being the apple of His eye. Israel was God's chosen people, God's chosen nation. God began to work through that Hebrew people from Abraham all the way down. We find that God had a special calling upon that multitude of individuals. And He gave them vision to realize that, hey, there's going to come a time in which they were going to be more numerous than the sand upon the seashore. There's going to come a time when there'll be more people serving a holy God than the stars that are in the expanse of the sky. We find that God had a desire that the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel, the children of Jacob, would come to a place in their life that they would understand that God had a plan, that God had a purpose, that God was sending a Messiah, that God was sending the Christ, that God was going to have a Redeemer, and He had a plan of redemption for their lives. And my friend, God said, I don't want you to go by the way of the Gentiles. They don't have no heritage. I don't want you to go necessarily unto the people of Samaria who are half Jew, half Gentile, but I want you to go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ain't that interesting what He says right there? He wants you to go unto a place where the people are not pharisaical. He wants you to go into a place where they're not high and mighty and steeped in religion. But I want you to go unto a people that might be receptive. I want you to go and I want you to seek and I want you to find those people that need Jesus the most. It's interesting what He said there in chapter number 9, in verse number 13. And we looked at that Gospel of Mark several weeks ago about where Jesus says there. Verse number 12, He says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My friend, we need to be a people that have the direction of our commission, reaching out unto those that need Christ the most, those that need Jesus the most. And ain't it interesting what He said? He said, I want you to begin with your own people. Paul told the church in Rome, chapter 1, verse 16, that salvation cometh unto the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. My friend, the purpose and the plan of Jesus coming was that Israel, first and foremost, might get saved. And He said, I want you to go unto your own people. You know what that ought to tell us tonight? We ought to seek out our own before we seek out somebody else. You say, what does that mean, preacher? You ought to share the gospel with your kindred. Amen. You ought to share the gospel with those that you're related to by blood. ought to share the gospel with those that need Christ. My friend, I know it's not the easiest thing to do. Sometimes you can talk to those that you know best till you blow in the face and it don't get nowhere. But nevertheless, our direction should be honed in that direction. We should strive to see those that we're of kin to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So the direction of our commission ought to be unto our own people, but primarily unto those that are lost. Now, my friend, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody acknowledge that they're lost. Amen. At least that's an open door. At least that's an opportunity. Not some folks that think they're all right because of their works, think they're all right because of their baptismal certificate, think they're all right because they're raised in good fundamental Baptist church. Some folks think they're all right because they've got a heritage. But my friend, if you don't have no history in which that Jesus came down and sat upon the throne of your heart, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you were lost and that you looked unto Jesus and you accepted His grace and embraced His salvation by faith, and faith alone. My friend, you need to get saved. And my friend, we need to take the gospel into those that might be open to the gospel. The Bible says here that Jesus gave them the direction of commission. But we also see that there is the distribution of compassion. My friend, we need to have a direction in which we're headed. Hey, a church that has no direction, has no vision, has no hope to grow, has no hope to build, has no hope to see great things take place. So we have to have some direction in where we're going. But we also see there needs to be the distribution of compassion. Now, look what Jesus said as He goes, as you go by twos, as you go and you enter in into that place of Israel, seeking out those that are lost, seeking out those that are in destitute, seeking out those that if they don't get born again are going to spend an eternal in misery in hell. He says, I want you to go. And the Bible says there in verse number 7 in this distribution of compassion, Jesus says, and as you go, preach. I mean, that's exactly what we need to be about in our everyday life. Now you say, preacher, I'm not called to preach. Some of you say, first and foremost, because I'm of a different gender, I don't believe that I qualify to fulfill a pulpit. And I'll say, amen. Praise God. But got your doctrine right. Amen, Brother Andy. But I believe that each and every one of us is called to be one that heralds the gospel. Amen. That's what that word preach literally means. It does not mean stand up and get red-faced all the time like I find myself. It doesn't say spit and stammer and stutter. But what it means literally is to stand and to herald and to shout the good news of Jesus Christ, to proclaim that Jesus saves. And my friend, that ought to be what our desire, that ought to be our ambition in life, is to tell others about who Jesus is, to tell somebody else about what God has done in my life. Tell somebody where you used to be. Tell somebody where you used to go. Tell somebody where God brought you out of. Tell somebody about how that God did a transformation work in your life. Tell somebody about the birth of Jesus arising in your soul to make you whom you are today. That's what we ought to be about. Hey, the Bible says there, and as you go, He says, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey, that kingdom of heaven in which that He is proclaiming there, it could literally be a straight sentence, but I would say what He's saying is I want you to take that thought, I want you to take that statement, I want you to take that comment, and I want you to run with it, and I want you to expound upon it, and I want you to share everything about what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Hey, the kingdom of heaven is about the fact that there was a Savior that was born of a virgin. The fact that He came and He's living and that He's breathing and that He has come to die in the place of fallen mankind and that He's going to die upon a cross and that He's going to give of His life's blood. And if you'll believe in Him, if you'll trust in Him, if you'll accept Him as your sacrifice for your sin, you can get saved. You can get born again. You can get birthed in the family of God. You can become a literal part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that's ruling and reigning from now on. Amen. Hey, God's desire is that we tell others about God. And that we tell others about His Son. Tell others about the plan of salvation. Tell others about the fact that, hey, there's going to come a day when the trump of God's going to sound and there's going to be a glorious light out of that eastern sky and Jesus is going to call His church home. Are you ready? Will you go? Will you be there? My friend, we see here this distribution of compassion. It's not something we ought to hoard up that we keep to ourselves, but it's something we need to share. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 8 that He gave these guys great monumental ability to do the things that until this time only Jesus literally could do. Now we know that God shone down upon specific men in specific times because I believe Elijah had the ability to do great, marvelous, wonderful things. He raised the widow of Zarephath's son out of the dead. We find that He did that. But God has given these men special gifts, special abilities. Look what He says there in verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. He didn't say just go down yonder and talk to the Pharisees. He didn't say just go down yonder and fit in with the scribes. He didn't say just fall right into the routine of religion. He didn't say come into church and look good and smell good and sing the right songs and say the right words and just mingle in with everybody else. No, He said, I want you to go out there and I want you to minister to the lowest of the low. I want you to go where many people are afraid to go. I want you to minister unto that man that's sick. I want you to go to that one that's got leprosy. I want you to go down to that one that's dead physically, more so spiritually. And I want you to help those that are overwhelmed by the demonic demise of the devil himself. I want you to go and minister unto them. Now, from when he did not never get too good to go and to minister unto those that are less valued than what we might be. Now, from when we look around us tonight and we see how we're blessed. Look around us tonight and see what help we have at this time frame in our life. We ought to thank God because there might be a day when we're not able to be here because we're sick. Might come a day when we've got a disease like leprosy. Might come a day whenever that we're on our deathbed. Might come a day whenever that we or our children or our children's children or our relatives are under the demonic devise of the devil. Hey, we need to never undermine ourselves. Need to never doubt that Satan has great power and he can overwhelm different things in our life. What we need to be about today is that we need to distribute the compassion in which Jesus has given unto us. Hey, I'm worthy of hell in my own stance, in my own ability, this flesh and blood. I'm nothing more than a sinner. I deserve to be destitute to a devil's hell. But by God's grace and by God's compassion in which He's given unto me. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 8, He says, freely ye have received, freely give. My friend, your salvation didn't cost you a thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, you didn't do nothing that was worthy enough of having your name written down in the portals of heaven. Hey, there's nothing, there's no good work, there's no good deed, there's no amount of money that you have given that's going to earn you a mansion in glory, but it has been freely given unto you, and just as you have received mercy, we ought to give mercy. Just as you have received grace, you need to tell somebody else about the gift of God's love. Ought to share what God has given unto us as ye have freely received, freely give. Boy, that's wonderful, is it not? Hey, that right there is the distribution of compassion in a nutshell. Hey, as you have freely received, freely give. Look what He says in verse 9. This distribution of compassion. He says, provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass for your purses. He says, I don't want you to hoard everything you got lying around you in your money bag and head off down the highway. There's a lot of times when we go places, we want to make sure we got enough to get back home. Amen. I'll tell you what, He said, boys, I want you to walk by faith. I don't want you to take everything in your storehouse with you. I just want you to get the basic necessities, and I want you to step out on a journey serving me. And the Bible says there that He said in verse 9, nor scrip for your journey, money, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves or staves. Hey, He says, I don't want you to take an abundance of clothing. He said, ladies, I don't want you to take every pair of shoes you got in your closet. What I want you to do is I want you to step out by faith. Take the bare essentials. Take the bare necessities. Take the things of which that you have right now, right here in your possession. And I want you to step out by faith and serve God. And my friend, I'll tell you what, that's a big step of faith. My friend, that's exactly what God's called us to do. But I'll tell you what, as you begin to step, and as you begin to walk with God, and as you begin to allow Him to lead you in the direction of His will, my friend, God will meet every one of your needs. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be given unto you. Hey, you test God, try God sometime. I'm not saying tempt God, but I'm just saying, God, I'm going to take a little step of faith. And God, I'm going to ask you that as I take a step of faith, I want you to prove yourself faithful unto me. Hey, I'm thankful for our mission given. Hey, I give a little bit unto God, and He gives me more in return. I give unto missions, and God always makes sure that what He told me I'd have to give, it's there. Hey, God will bless you if you'll just step out by faith and be willing to distribute the compassion in which God has granted unto you. Hey, as you have freely received, freely give. He says there, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. What he's saying here in the ancient rabbi belief was that if you're truly called, if you're truly one of His, you'll truly be supported by the will of the people. Amen. Hey, you ain't going to have to ask. You ain't going to have to beg. You ain't going to have to beseech. But if you'll do what God is asking you to do, there'll be somebody come along and prove you worthy of your labor. They'll come behind you. They'll support you. They'll take care of you. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 11, He says, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who it is worthy. Hey, God's going to meet your need. God, He says, don't worry about your gold and your silver and your copper. He says, don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about your money. Don't worry about your shoes. Don't worry about having a staff to beat off the wildcats and to beat off the bears. He says, you just walk with me. Just follow me and I'll take good care of you. And He says, when you enter into a city, He says there in verse number 11, when you enter into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy. What He's saying is preach. Preach. Tell the kingdom of heaven. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And there'll be somebody that'll receive. There'll be somebody that'll embrace. There'll be somebody that'll be willing to accept that compassion in which you're given. To believe in the message of the Messiah that's to come. And He says, whomever that is, they're worthy. They're one that is worthy of reception, worthy of grace, worthy of salvation. He says, I want you to stick by them. He says there in verse number 11, He says, and there abide till you go thence. He says, hook up with somebody that's same like mine, same like belief. I believe it's imperative that we teach good doctrine in our church. I believe it's imperative that we lead people in the right way to make sure that everybody's on the same page, that nobody's led astray, that nobody is wondering what it is that we believe. But my friend, that we all be of like mind. That's what He's saying. You find somebody that's worthy, find somebody of like-mindedness, I want you to hook up with them, I want you to stick with them, I want you to stay with them, and abide there until I send you forth unto another place. I believe it's imperative that me as your pastor might just come here and just preach and stay right here until God tells me to go somewhere else. And when God says go, man's got to go. But until that time, stick with them. They'll stick with you. Abide one with another. Serve God together. Both of you recipients of the compassion of the Most High God. Just stick with Him freely as you have received. Freely give. Hey, this distribution of compassion, He says there in verse number 12, and when you come into an house, salute it. When you come into another house in that city or that region or that town, I want you to salute it. I want you to give them the gospel. I want you to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to tell them the truth, unadulterated, unfiltered, straight and narrow, down to the point, down to the nitty-gritty, no black, no gray. I want you to just give it to them and tell them, share with them the Word of God. My friend, the Bible tells us there in verse number 13, He says, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. Hey, if they embrace that message, if they embrace that compassion, if they receive Jesus, He says there'll be peace upon that home. And that peace in which He's talking about is referring to that Old Testament shalom, that Hebrew word shalom, which means peace be with you. Hey, I'll tell you what, the only way you'll have peace in your heart is to receive the compassion of a Most High God by accepting the gospel of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And when you know Jesus as your Savior, there'll be peace on board in your heart. There'll be peace in your home. There'll be peace in your abode. There'll be peace in your habitation. Hey, there'll be peace in a church that proclaims Jesus and that accepts the gospel and that preaches the word. There shall be peace when everybody's of like mind. So we find here that the disciples' duty was to have the direction of commission, to have the distribution of compassion, but it was also to have the delegation of condemnation. Hey, my friend, it ain't easy sometimes to tell somebody that if they don't get born again, they're going to bust hell wide open. I know that ain't the most embracing news. I know that ain't the best thing to share with somebody. But I'll tell you what, you'll be doing a disservice to them. And most of all, you'll be doing a disservice unto God. And you won't be doing no good to yourself unless you tell somebody the truth of whom God is and what Jesus did and what the judgment's all about. My friend, you won't be doing no work that's worthy of God unless you tell them the truth. He says there in verse number 13, he says, "But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you." Hey, if they shun the gospel, if they slam the door in your face, if they tell you to get lost, if they tell you to get rid of it, if they say, "I don't want to hear that, I want you to move on," what does God say? Hey, they're not worthy of the gospel. They've rejected Jesus. He says, remove the shalom, remove the peace, and go on to somewhere else. Hey, look what he says there in verse number 14. He says, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city," he says, "shake off the dust of your feet." Now, my friend, I'll tell you what, God, a lot of times He'll lay it on our heart to go tell somebody about Jesus. Somebody that you've been thinking of for years. Somebody you've been thinking of for days. Somebody you just might make acquaintance with. And God might impress it upon your heart to share the gospel with them. To be truthful with them. Sometimes God only tells you to do it one time. Sometimes God might tell you to do it twice. Sometimes God might lay them upon your heart multiple times that you continue to share the gospel with them because you have a burden for their soul. But my friend, there will come a time when God will give you a peace about what you've done. Is all you're obligated to do, that is to tell them the gospel, to tell them the good news of salvation, to tell them about whom Jesus is. However, God says, "Hey, that's enough, son. Hey, that's enough, child of God. I want you to move on to somewhere else. Remove that peace." He says, "Shake the dust off of you." Hey, it was customary in that day and time, whenever they would walk through a Gentile city, wherever they went from Galilee down into Judea, and they had to walk through Samaria. Hey, they didn't want none of that Samaritan ground upon them to be carried into Judea. Hey, when they might have to encamp upon a pagan place, might have had to go through a place that was not customary or receptive of whom Jehovah God really was. When they got ready to enter and leave that place and go back into their home country, they'd shake the dust off of them because they did not want to bring anything that might contaminate the soul of God. Did not want to bring anything that might bring a degradation unto the place of God. So he said, just shake the dust off your feet. My friend, sometimes you got to just shake the dust off your feet. Sometimes you just got to move on because you know that you've done your part. And my friend, there's the delegation of condemnation that you must impart upon them and just share with them the goodness and the grace of God. But when they reject it, share with them their eternal consequence in an eternal hell. My friend, the Bible says right there in verse number 15, He says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Hey, I'll tell you what, a country that rejects God, it's going to be better off for that land of Sodom and that land of Gomorrah that we read about in Genesis chapter number 19, that because they rejected God, because they lived in idolatry, because they sold themselves out unto homosexuality and bestiality, and they fulfilled the lust of the flesh, they received the judgment of hellfire and brimstone, and God destroyed that place. Hey, it's going to be good things for a land like Sodom and Gomorrah as compared to a city that rejects God. I'll tell you what, we need to pray for our land. Amen. need to pray for the land in which that we live. I'll tell you what, I heard tell the other day that out in California, there's billboards out there that just says, come to Asheville, North Carolina, to San Francisco, the East Coast. Hey, I'll tell you what, we need to be praying, amen, for our cities. We need to be praying that God might do a work in our land, that we might be able to see Jesus magnified. Hey, what's your duty all about tonight? What's God called you to do? Hey, what God called you to do, He did not call nobody else. Do you realize that? If God's called you to be a witness unto someone, He's not called anybody else, but He's called you. Now, I know all of us ain't called to be preachers. All of us ain't called to be teachers. All of us ain't called to be deacons. All of us ain't called to be all these things. But each and every one of us has received the delegation of commission. Every one of us needs to be about telling others about Jesus, the direction of the commission. Every one of us needs to be about the distribution of compassion. And every one of us needs to be about the delegation of condemnation. Well, I'm glad for Romans 8 and 1, aren't you? I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for what the Word of God says. Because I'm saved, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm thankful for the goodness of God, aren't you? I'll tell you what, we need to tell others about Jesus. We need to tell others about Christ. Let me ask you tonight, do you know Him? Have you received Him as your Savior? Do you know Him as your personal Lord? Do you know that if you was to die today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know you're saved tonight? If there's a doubt, if there's a wonder, if you don't have no assurance, deep down assurance in your soul that Jesus has done a work in your heart, now, friend, I encourage you to come. Maybe somebody here tonight, you say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've not been serving God the way I ought to. I've not been telling my peers, my loved ones, my co-workers about Jesus the way I ought to. My friend, tonight might be the night that you step up to the plate. Tonight might be the night that you say, God, I want to make myself available for service in the kingdom of heaven. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.